Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. Thanks for starting your day with us. We've got some really interesting stories hitting the cybersecurity headlines today.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to deep dive into those.
Okay.
So think of this as your quick, insightful rundown on what's important. And honestly, pretty fascinating in the digital world right now.
Will it?
We've got, we're going to unpack some confusion around cryptocurrency accounts. We're going to alert you to a sneaky scam that's popping up on phones.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to take a look at a truly unique individual who operates in both the hacking scene.
Wow.
And surprisingly helps make your software safer.
Okay.
So are you ready to get started?
Let's do it. I'm really curious about this individual who's both, you know, a hacker and a security helper. It's like, what?
Right.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's a very strange story.
I'm all ears.
Okay, so let's kick things off with Coinbase. Now, if you're using crypto or even just keeping an eye on the news, you've probably heard of Coinbase.
Yeah, definitely a big name.
Big name, major player. And it seems they've had a bit of a messaging issue with their users that's caused quite a bit of concern.
Messaging issue? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, sometimes the way that companies communicate things can be a little bit ambiguous.
Yeah, I guess so.
And this is what seems to have happened here with Coinbase.
Okay, so what happened exactly?
So the core of the issue revolves around what users were seeing in their account activity logs, and specifically these messages about second factor failure or two-step verification failed.
I've seen those messages before.
Roger.
Just assumed it meant someone was trying to hack into my account.
And, you know, that would be a natural assumption. But the context in this case made it particularly alarming for a lot of users.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Okay, so picture this. You get a suspicious email or text that looks like it's from Coinbase.
Oh, I hate those.
Right.
They're always so sketchy.
They are. So your natural reaction is to log in and check your account.
Yeah, of course. What else would you do?
You want to make sure everything's okay.
Exactly.
Then you see multiple entries about failed two-factor authentication attempts.
Oh, no.
Often from locations that you don't recognize. What would you immediately think?
I'd freak out. I mean, someone's trying to get into my account, right?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Exactly. And a lot of users did panic because, you know, the common understanding of two-factor authentication is that it's that extra layer of security after you've successfully entered your password.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work.
So seeing these failures suggests to you that someone got your password right, but was blocked by that second step.
Makes sense. So they have your password, but they can't get past the 2FA.
Exactly. So this sent a lot of users into a flurry of action-changing passwords, running malware scans, the whole nine yards.
I would do the same thing. I mean, you got to protect yourself.
Absolutely. What made it even more unsettling is that many of these users were confident in their strong, unique passwords. And their devices came up clean. You know, they did all the right things.
So it wasn't their fault.
Right. So this really fueled the worry that maybe Coinbase itself had been compromised.
Oh, no.
Like a data breach or something.
That would be a disaster.
Imagine that feeling of like your digital safe suddenly showing signs of tampering. Unnerving.
Totally. Especially when you think you've done everything right.
So here's the thing. What's fascinating here is the reality behind these alarming messages.
Oh, okay. So there's more to the story.
There's a twist.
Well, I love twists.
It turns out those second factor failure notifications weren't solely triggered by someone entering an incorrect 2FA code.
Wait, what?
They were also generated when someone simply typed in the wrong password initially.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So all that panic could have been over a simple typo.
Potentially.
That's crazy.
And it's been confirmed. Trying to log in with an incorrect password results in that same misleading 2FA failure message.
Wow. So the system's kind of broken, isn't it?
It's a case where the error message is technically accurate in one situation.
Right.
But completely misleading in another. So it's causing a lot of undue stress.
That's not good at all.
Hmm.
Especially when it comes to something as important as security.
Exactly. And you know, it's more concerning.
What's that?
These misleading messages are reportedly being used by actual scammers.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, so think about it. They send out phishing attempts knowing that when you log in and see these confusing logs,
yeah,
you're more likely to believe your account is truly under attack.
Right.
And then you might fall for whatever tricks they're trying to pull.
So they're using Coinbase's own system against its users.
That's messed up.
It's like exploiting their confusing messaging to make their scams more believable.
I can see how that would work. You're already on edge because you think someone's trying to hack you.
Exactly. The fish gets you worried.
Right.
The confusing logs seem to confirm your fear.
Makes sense.
And then you're in a more vulnerable state of mind to fall for that next step, whatever it may be.
That's a really clever tactic, even if it is malicious.
So, Coinbase has acknowledged this issue. Oh, good. At least they're aware of it.
And they've said that they're looking into making that error message more specific when it's just an incorrect password.
It's about time.
But there's no firm timeline for when that fix will actually happen.
That's a little concerning. Hopefully they'll get on that soon.
So the big takeaway here for you is whether you're a Coinbase user or using any online service with two-factor authentication, just be really aware of how account activity is reported.
Okay, good advice.
Don't automatically assume the worst just because you see a failed login attempt.
Right.
It could be something as simple as a typo.
Yeah, or maybe you just forgot your password.
Always try to verify any suspicions through official channels.
You mean like contacting Coinbase directly?
Right, or whoever the service provider is.
Got it.
And remember, Coinbase has explicitly stated they will never text or call you about suspicious account activity.
Okay, so if they do, it's definitely a scam.
It's a scam.
That's good to know.
All right, shifting gears now from the crypto world
Yeah, let's switch it up.
to something that might affect you if you drive on toll roads.
Oh, toll roads, I hate
Don't
those.
we all?
Yeah.
It's the return of those pesky EZPass phishing
Phishing
scams.
scams, those are still a thing. I thought people knew better by now.
Oh, you would think.
Yeah.
But they're very much alive and well.
Yikes.
And there's been a significant increase recently hitting both SMS and iMessage inboxes. So if you use EZPass, or any toll system, really, this is definitely something you need to be aware of.
Okay, I'm listening.
So it's not a brand new scam. The FBI even put out warnings about it last year.
Last year, wow. So it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, so why the sudden comeback? What makes it resurface now? It's hard to say for sure. Scams like these often operate in cycles.
Right, they come and go.
So it could be due to, new tools or infrastructure being used by the scammers, or perhaps they've just refined their methods to be more effective. But the underlying goal remains the same:
What's that?
to trick you into clicking a link in a text message that will take you to a fake website.
Oh, those fake websites, they can be so convincing.
And these aren't just generic fake websites, right?
Yo.
They're specifically designed to look like the real EZPass site,
Right.
or maybe even other toll road authorities you might use, so like the toll roads, Fast Track, or the Florida Turnpike.
So they're really targeting specific regions.
They're trying to, create that sense of legitimacy, make you think you're in the right place.
That's so sneaky.
It is. And the visual deception is a key part of this.
Right, because if it looks real, you're more likely to believe it's real.
Once you land on these fake sites, they're after your personal and financial information.
Yeah.
So your name, email address, physical address,
Makes sense.
and most importantly, your credit card details.
Oh, no.
So you got to be really careful. Think about it. You could be unknowingly handing over this sensitive information to criminals.
It's scary how easy it is to fall for these things.
It really is. And they make it even easier because these texts often try to create a sense of urgency.
Ah, like those limited time offers you see everywhere.
Yeah, making you feel like you have to act immediately.
Right.
So they might say you owe a toll payment and you need to pay right now to avoid late fees.
Oh, I hate late fees.
Or even having your driving privileges suspended.
That would be a nightmare.
So one example that's been reported warned that a toll payment must be settled by April 4th, 2025. Notice the specific, seemingly official date to avoid fines and the suspension of your driving privileges.
That's pretty convincing. They even give you a specific date.
Right, and that kind of language, they're using that to really get under your skin.
And make you panic and just click the link without thinking.
Exactly. It's that immediate threat of a negative consequence.
It's classic social engineering.
It's classic. And it sounds like these attacks are being sent out on a large scale.
Oh, really? So this isn't just a few isolated incidents.
Not at all. They're doing this in huge numbers.
How are they managing to get these messages through? Don't we have spam filters for this kind of thing?
We do,
Yeah.
but they're finding ways around it.
Of course they are.
So it appears they're using automated systems.
Oh, so it's not even real people sending these messages.
Not necessarily.
Why?
And sending these messages from what look like random email addresses.
So they're constantly changing their sender address.
This high volume and the constantly changing sources, it makes it more difficult for traditional anti-spam filters to block them effectively.
They're always one step ahead, aren't they?
It seems that way. And there's a sneaky little trick they're using
Oh.
that targets iPhone users specifically.
Good with that.
It has to do with how iMessage handles links from unknown senders.
I'm an iPhone user. Tell me more.
Okay, so iMessage has this security feature that disables links in messages from senders who aren't in your contacts.
Okay.
It's a way to protect you from SMS phishing.
That's a good feature.
But to get around this, the scammers are instructing users to simply reply to the text message.
What? And that makes the links work.
Once you reply, the sender is no longer considered unknown, and suddenly those links become clickable.
Oh, wow. So they're tricking the system by making you think you're initiating the conversation?
It's a clever way to bypass that initial layer of protection.
That's crazy. So even if the link looks inactive at first, I shouldn't reply.
Do not reply.
Got it.
And you mentioned earlier that these fake websites might not even load correctly on desktop browsers.
Yeah, that's right. Why would they do that?
That's likely a tactic to specifically target mobile users.
Because that's how most people check their messages.
Since that's where you're most likely to receive the text message in the first place.
Makes sense.
If you were to try and open the link on a desktop and the site didn't look right or didn't load properly, you might become suspicious.
Yeah, I'd definitely be suspicious.
So by focusing on the mobile experience, they're ensuring that you're seeing their carefully crafted fake site on the same device where you received that alarming message.
So they're playing on the context and the immediacy of the situation,
making it more convincing.
That's really sneaky.
And you know, the sheer number of these messages is becoming a real headache for people. Some users are purporting getting multiple scam texts in a single day.
Oh, I can imagine how annoying that would be. It's like, leave me alone.
Imagine that constant worry and that feeling of being bombarded with these threats all the time.
Not a good feeling at all.
So do we have any idea where this latest surge might be originating from?
It's still under investigation, but there's speculation that it could be linked to these newer phishing as a service platforms.
Phishing as a service, that sounds ominous.
Right. So these platforms, they reportedly allow even less technically skilled individuals to launch large-scale phishing campaigns.
Oh, wow. So they're making it easier for anyone to be a scammer.
It's like they're lowering the barrier to entry for cybercrime.
And that's definitely a concern.
Yeah. So they utilize encrypted messaging services to send out massive numbers of texts while avoiding the usual costs and filters associated with traditional SMS.
So it's cheaper and harder to detect.
Basically, yes.
So if you receive one of these suspicious EasyPass texts,
yeah,
what should you do?
First of all, don't panic.
Good advice. Good advice.
Take a deep breath and remember what we talked about.
So what are the practical steps?
Okay, first, do not click on any links in the text message.
No clicking.
And definitely don't provide any personal or financial information.
Okay.
Block the sender immediately. And if your phone allows it, report the message as spam or junk.
Good idea.
It's also generally a good idea to avoid replying to these messages at all, as that can signal to the scammers that your phone number is active.
Right. So no clicking, no replying, just block and delete.
Exactly. And if you're genuinely concerned about outstanding toll payments, the safest way to check is to go directly to the official website or mobile app of your toll authority.
Great, and log into your account there.
That way you know you're dealing with a real deal.
Good advice. And as the FBI advises, if you do unfortunately fall victim to one of these scams, make sure to file a complaint with their Internet Crime Complaint Center, or IC3.
That's right. Report it so they can track these scammers and hopefully stop them.
Okay, now for our final story today. We're diving into something a lot stranger.
Okay.
This involves a very active hacker who's also being credited by Microsoft for finding security flaws in Windows.
Wait, what? A hacker who's helping Microsoft? That's a new one.
Talk about an unexpected twist.
It's like finding out a bank robber is also a security guard in their spare time.
Right.
How does that even work?
This is a truly fascinating case.
I'm hooked already.
And it really highlights the often complex and paradoxical nature of the cybersecurity landscape.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of gray area in that world.
So the individual behind the hacker persona in CryptHub, who also goes by names like LRVA208 and Water Gamayun.
Okay, so they have a few aliases.
This person has been linked to an astonishing number of data breaches.
Like how many were we talking?
Over 600 data breaches.
600.
In just the last 9 months.
That's insane. They've been busy.
Very busy. What kind of organizations are we talking about here?
So the targets were high-value organizations across a wide range of industries, which suggests a focus on significant data theft or disruption.
This isn't just small-scale stuff.
No, this is serious business.
Okay, so this is someone clearly operating on the wrong side of the digital tracks.
Right.
Causing a lot of problems.
A lot of problems.
But then Microsoft credited this same individual for discovering and reporting two security vulnerabilities in Windows.
Wait, hold on. So they're hacking into companies and stealing data, but also helping Microsoft find bugs.
Just last month.
My mind is blown. How do you reconcile those two seemingly opposite activities? It's like, on the one hand, they're a criminal, but on the other hand, they're like a white hat hacker.
It's like finding out a notorious burglar also volunteers as a neighborhood watch captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
So these vulnerabilities, identified as CVE-2025-24061, which was a security feature bypass, and CVE-2025-24071, a file explorer spoofing vulnerability, were serious enough that Microsoft issued patches for them as part of their regular security update. And they specifically credited Skorikari with Skorikari, which is believed to be another username used by EncryptHub.
Okay, so it really is the same person.
So the same person who's allegedly been behind all these cyber attacks is also helping to make Windows more secure.
That's wild.
For you and everyone else. It's like a digital Robin Hood in reverse.
Or maybe just a very complicated individual. Like, what's going on in their head?
Who knows, right? Security researchers have pieced together some of this individual's background.
Oh, really? So we know something about them?
A little bit. Apparently, they left Ukraine about a decade ago.
Okay.
And ended up somewhere near the Romanian coast.
Interesting.
And this individual wasn't exactly unknown before all this recent activity. They first came to attention for distributing various types of malware through a fake WinRAR website.
A fake WinRAR website? That's sneaky.
That's a pretty direct route to causing trouble for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people use WinRAR.
And more recently, they've been linked to exploiting a weakness in the Microsoft Management Console to deliver even more harmful software, including information stealers and previously unknown backdoors. So consistent pattern of malicious activity.
So it's not like they suddenly decided to be a good guy.
Right.
They have a history of doing bad things.
So despite all of this widespread cybercrime, they're allegedly involved in the current understanding is that EncryptHub is likely operating alone.
Alone? Really? For 600 breaches, that's hard to believe.
That's what the researchers currently believe. Although they can't completely rule out the possibility of some collaboration. Interestingly, it seems that their own poor operational security practices, things like accidentally infecting their own systems and mixing their personal and criminal online activities, actually played a role in investigators uncovering their identity. It just goes to show that even highly skilled attackers can be undone by basic security mistakes.
So they're brilliant, but also kind of sloppy.
Right.
That's a weird combination.
And the timeline of EncryptHub's activities also has some interesting gaps and changes. So their online activity reportedly stopped quite suddenly in early 2022, which coincided with the start of the Russo-Ukrainian War.
Oh, wow.
And there is evidence to suggest they might have been incarcerated around that time.
So maybe they were involved in the war effort or something?
It's possible.
Right.
After being released, they apparently made attempts to pursue legitimate work in web and app development and even participated in bug bounty programs.
Bug bounty programs, those are where you get paid for finding security vulnerabilities, right?
Right. So like ethical hacking.
Interesting. So they were trying to go straight.
It seems that way. But then in early 2024, they seemingly shifted back into cybercrime.
So they had a change of heart, or maybe the money was just too tempting.
Or maybe they just couldn't resist the challenge.
Maybe.
And they even developed their own custom malware, this Fickle Stealer.
Fickle Stealer, that's a catchy name.
Mm-hmm. It's a Rust-based information stealer. And EncryptHub even claimed that it was more effective than other similar types of malware and could bypass corporate antivirus systems. They describe it as a key component in another product they were developing.
So they were building a whole suite of hacking tools.
It sounds like it.
That's impressive, in a disturbing kind of way.
And to add another layer of intrigue to this already bizarre story, it's reported that EncryptHub made extensive use of OpenAI's ChatGPT in their operations.
ChatGPT, like the AI chatbot.
Yes. So reports suggest they used the AI language model for a variety of tasks.
Okay.
From assisting with the development of their malware to translating emails and even as a sort of confessional outlet. It really highlights the increasingly complex relationship between publicly available AI tools and their potential for misuse in cybercrime.
That's a little scary, to be honest. AI can be used for so many things, both good and bad.
This whole EncryptHub situation is just fascinating and a little unsettling.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
It makes you think about the motivations and the complex nature of the individuals involved in cybercrime. What drives someone to engage in such widespread malicious activity?
Right.
And then also contribute to making software more secure? It's a real puzzle.
Maybe they're just trying to prove something. Like, I can break it and I can fix it.
It's definitely a possibility. It's a stark reminder that the world of cybersecurity isn't always black and white, and the actors within it can be surprisingly complex.
So to sum up today's Cyber Mornings Daily, we've had a wild ride through the world of cyber threats.
Yeah.
From Coinbase's confusing security messages to those annoying EZPass phishing scams.
Right.
And of course, the incredibly strange case of the hacker, who's also a security contributor.
It's been a roller coaster of emotions.
It really has. These stories, while quite different, all highlight how important it is to stay informed and vigilant in our increasingly digital world.
Be careful out there, folks.
Yeah, whether it's understanding the nuances of online security notifications, being cautious of unsolicited messages, or considering the motivations of those who operate in the shadows, knowledge is truly your strongest defense.
And that Encrypt Hub story, it really sticks with you, doesn't it?
It does. It makes you wonder if maybe there's more to these cyber criminals than meets the eye.
Are they just bad guys?
Or is there something else going on?
It definitely gives you food for thought. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the cybersecurity news. We'll be back tomorrow with more of what you need to know to navigate the ever-evolving digital landscape. Until then, stay safe online.
Stay safe, everyone.